into the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with religious demonologist and co-host Adam Bly, and you today. We're opening up the phone lines because we're talking all about prophecy, real and false prophecies. So we need your help, but we're going to start the conversation, and you're going to take it away, the spirit world listeners, as when you call in. We always begin with the St. Michael prayer, but let me give the phone number because I have a feeling this is going to be a very popular episode. 877-757-9424. And Adam, please let us begin with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we do have Libby and Lori on the phones, and they are ready to answer your call. As we're going to give like a short presentation on prophecy and that real versus false prophecy, and things to stay away from, things to be careful of, things to really understand, things to absolutely pray about. And so we will discuss that and for maybe the first two segments, and then we're going to hit the phones because the spirit world listeners have something to say about it. We have our senior producer, Tim Mott, at the controls. We are being produced by the Guadalupe Radio Network, which, by the way, Adam, is coming up on the 25th anniversary in Plano, Texas on July 19th. And we are actually going to be together at that event along with a list of an incredible lineup of speakers like Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, Father Chris Alar, Matt Marr, Julie Carrick. I mean, it goes on and on. Jerry Usher. I mean, I can keep going. Monsignor Charles Pope. I mean, what an amazing event. And if you want to be part of it, it's all free. That's right. All you have to do is just reserve your spot at grnonline.com/anniversary. Okay. And get your seat there. I think we can hold a little over 2,000, and we're over halfway there with folks coming in from all over the place. It's going to be a blast, but I didn't even do justice to what is going to be, the lineup for the entire day, because we actually are talking prophecy today. And Adam, I just wanted to share this too. Please, dear listeners, we are in the middle of pledge drive season. And what I mean by that is it's spring pledge drive season all around the country with EWTN affiliates. Okay. Like Guadalupe Radio is starting their 5-day pledge drive next week. Sacred Heart Radio in Seattle is finishing up theirs today. In fact, the fine folks of Sacred Heart Radio are listening to the spirit world, and then they're going to go right into pledge drive. Next week is The Rock, AM 1260, The Rock in Ohio and other places around the country. So the point I'm trying to make, and Adam, I'd love for you to comment quickly on it before we get to prophecy, is that when the local Catholic radio station comes to the listeners during the springtime and says, please, we are listener supported, can you step up and make a pledge? You know, the spirit world, we are on these stations because of the generous donations of the local listeners, you know, because they're keeping it going. It's wonderful. And also, please, folks, remember EWTN. But what do you say about that, about just making sure to give generously to Catholic radio so we can keep programs that people like on the air?
Well, you know, Deb, one of the things that I've thought about this, looking back over my life, because in the background throughout my life, there's been Christian or Catholic radio there to some extent or another. I've noticed it in my life. I think when you facilitate that, when you contribute to making that happen, I think often you're doing it more for the people that aren't close with God at the moment, that need that information, that encouragement, hopefully that grace. Mm-hmm. You're really evangelizing. You really are participating in evangelizing by sure. doing that, because hopefully, you know, if God wills it, people receive some grace as they hear these types of programs, and it encourages them in their journey. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, I think for those that are solid on this and they want to learn a little bit more and their faith is strong, it, yes, it is good for you, but I would think of it more as a gift for other people, that it's you evangelizing other people.
I love that. Yeah, I would totally agree with that. So if you like programs like The Spirit World, really thank your local Catholic radio station and maybe give of your time, talent, and treasure. And also we're being heard on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, which is so amazing. We're so grateful to EWTN. And by the way, another little housekeeping note, Adam, I am going right after the show, I'm speaking at a Women's Lenten Retreat in Chandler, Arizona at St. Mary's. And they are still taking, at the door reservations for that. And so if you wanted to, if you're in Arizona and you're listening to The Spirit World and you'd like to run on over to St. Mary's in Chandler, I'd love to have you. I'm talking about how to make suffering work for you rather than against you. Mm. And it's only $20 and it's a light brunch. And that's at 11 a.m. Arizona time. So I just want to let our listeners know that. And also, I'm going to be posting some things about that event and also other articles on Facebook. So don't forget to like us at the Spirit World Podcast. Okay, got all the housekeeping done, Adam. Now, you're gonna teach us some very interesting things about prophecy.
Well, I'm certainly going to try, Deb. You know, prophecy, like any of this kind of topics, supernatural topics, you know, miracles and prophecy and just mysticism in general, we're always interested in this stuff, right? We're always interested in when something unusual happens. And we also, I think, naturally want to imagine that we can be part of that or pray to be part of it, right? And that's not necessarily bad. Paul tells us, you know, pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit and that, you know, God would use them in the community and, you know, through you. But prophecy, like the other things, is something we need to really think it through and be cognizant of it. Mm-hmm. Because especially if we just pick up stuff online, we get a real limited picture. Okay.
And that's private. That's like a private revelation you're talking
right.
about, correct? Okay.
Right. Okay. So prophecy, if we look at scripture and we look at the tradition, prophecy is God's communication delivered when God wishes and to whom he wishes. Mm-hmm. Now, why am I saying that? Well, it's not a magical power that we use on command when we want to. And of course, it's not something we would sell access to, because selling access to God, to something that comes from God, it's not ours to sell, right? You know, thinking of people that hold themselves out to have special access to the supernatural, to God, to heaven, to spirits. And certainly we wouldn't hold ourselves out to be a unique access to God that people need to turn to, turning us into some kind of idol. So prophecy, it's something God does when God wants to do it and with whom he wants to do it. It's not something that we control and turn on and off ourselves and delegate how and what type of information we're going to get. So private revelation that you mentioned is important. You know, it's just what it says, private revelation, a private revealing of hidden things. If somebody's claiming to have private revelation from God, the bottom line is, that needs to be submitted to the church for discernment, meaning the Church of Jesus Christ, Church of God, not broadcast to other people or on the internet without it being discerned and approved, right? So where's an example of this? Let's go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to jump a couple verses that are on a different topic. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 14:26 and 1 Corinthians 14:29, but it's all part of the same discussion. Paul here says, so what is to be done, brothers? When you assemble, one has a psalm, another an instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything should be done for building up. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others discern. That's the critical bit there, the others discern, right? The church discerns whether prophecies are real or false, whether they are something from God, something from the enemy, because there's certainly false prophecy, or imagination, the church doesn't just jump and say, oh, you say you hear from God? Great. Tell us, you know, and then we'll just immediately endorse that. Because after 2,000 years of experience, and even at the time of Jesus, everybody knew you have to be careful. There's mental illness out there. There's charlatans out there. You know, people encountered people doing magic and claiming things were of God, you know, and casting spirits out. And there's all kinds of false stuff going on. So the church cautions us. It can be God. It can be the enemy. It can be imagination. What are your thoughts, Deb? I see.
Well, Adam, is this in when you had you're posting a Vatican document that mm-hmm. you are going to make available for all of us, and Tim, our producer, is going to post it on Facebook and in the show notes and everything. Mm-hmm. Is that outlined in that document? What the criteria or what? Because you read it.
Yeah, the document's even more extensive. I'm really giving kind of a top level summary.
Gotcha.
And it's not just from this document. It's from, you know, reflecting on scripture and having studied a number of cases down through the years. But the Vatican document we're talking about, mm-hmm. there was some new rules that came out from the Vatican in May of 2024.
Right.
About purported supernatural events, often Marian apparitions or, right. you know, people claiming to, mm-hmm. to have divine revelation, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And kind of the bottom line of it is, down through history, when the local bishop was the only one making the decision, okay. mm-hmm. and the local bishop still needs to start the process, but when it was only the local bishop, what was happening that was confusing people was one bishop would think it's okay and good, maybe the next one didn't like it so much, and then it flopped back, mm-hmm. and then people were left wondering, like, well, am I supposed to believe in this or not? And of course, we're never supposed to, right?
Right.
So private revelation never supersedes public revelation, which is the Bible and right. tradition. Mm-hmm. And we're never required to believe private revelation. But people
okay.
think that sometimes.
So that's what I was getting at. I just wanted to make sure it. So in that document that you're making available for us to read, and I've seen it before. I skimmed over. I haven't read it in depth. But I will tell you that if that's not in there, typically, because you're not really on a lot of social media sites, typically what happens is when somebody has some kind of prophetic. You know, message or something that they want to get out there to the world, and they go through a Catholic ministry group, it'll say right there, well, they are under the local bishop, and the bishop is, you know, aware of this, and the bishop has either approved this. So I just was wondering, in that Vatican document, is that addressed? Because that the bishop is still, or they're, I guess, allowing this to happen where they're using that bishop's name in various different podcasts, and they kind of throw that out there as a way to right. say, well, now it must be legitimate. So maybe you should address that on the other side of the break, because do we go with that just because they throw out a bishop's name, or, you know, is there a higher level that we need to, you know, work through? And I'm wondering if that Vatican document addresses that. Okay, you hear the music, beautiful music we have on the Spirit World. You guys love it. You tell us every single week that you love the Spirit World theme music, and we do as well. We do have the phone lines open. We've got Libby and Lori on the phones. Amelia, we'll be getting to Amelia. Hold on. Don't go anywhere, Amelia. You can join Amelia right now if you have something to say about prophecy at 877-757-9424. And Adam and I will be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 22nd. Today we celebrate Saint Nicholas Owen. Nicholas Owen was a humble artisan who lived in England during the so-called penal times of 1559 to 1829, when Catholics were punished for practicing their faith. For almost 20 years, he used his skills to build secret hiding places for priests throughout the country. Working as both architect and builder, he constructed hiding places that went undetected by English raiders. Nicholas was a genius at finding and creating places of safety, subterranean passages, small spaces between walls, impenetrable recesses. He was fortified by receiving Eucharist daily. After many years of going about his unusual and dangerous work, Nicholas became a Jesuit lay brother, although, for obvious reasons, his connection with the Jesuits had to be kept secret. After a number of narrow escapes, he was finally caught in 1594. Despite brutal torture, Nicholas refused to disclose the names of other Catholics. He was released and resumed his work, but was arrested again in 1606. This time, after even more brutal torture, Nicholas suffered an agonizing death. He was canonized in 1970 as one of the 40 martyrs of England and Wales. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Major decisions can feel daunting. Do you feel lost and alone? Not sure what path to take? Life coaching may be the right option for you. Whether it's practicing accountability or creating a better plan that works in your life, we are here to serve with Christ always at the center. God's plan is always the best plan for us. We just may not be able to see it right now. Let us help at standtalltoday.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Hey, we are back, and a lot of calls are coming in. That is wonderful. There's room for you, though, at 877-757-9424. Adam, I tried to squeeze in a bunch of housekeeping at the beginning of the show so we could just focus on prophecy, and I knew this was going to happen. I'm getting a lot of messages, so let me just, if you allow me just about 30 seconds, just to clarify a couple things. Okay, folks, if you want to come to the Guadalupe Radio Network 25th anniversary, you go to grnonline.com/anniversary and secure your free spot, okay? It's July 19th in Plano, Texas, so please, and I kind of shared just even part of the lineup and on the schedule of events, but it's so extensive. It would take up the whole show. So it's a full day. It's going to be amazing. I would highly suggest driving in, flying in, walking in, you know, however you can get there and secure your spot. Okay. And I am getting messages. They wanted to know when the Women's Lent Retreat is. It's today, right after the Spirit World in Chandler, Arizona, 11 o'clock Arizona time. You can walk right to the door and get your spot if you'd like to come. That's today. And so please, you don't have to email me because today, and I'll just post some interesting snippets of the talk after the show. After the Lenten mission. Anyway, and then the last thing I wanted to just share, Adam, real quickly is we're getting a question. We had a couple questions come in over the break, and they're coming in pretty fast. Like, do Marian apparitions count as prophecy? Because you mentioned that this document, this Vatican document, which is about this supernatural phenomena, includes the Marian apparition. So address that. But the reason why you heard the hesitancy in my voice, Adam, and I think you know me well enough to know that that's why I was a little bit uneasy kind of introducing this, is because a lot of podcasts right now are weaving in, a lot of Catholic podcasts are weaving in these prophetic messages, and they're saying like, oh, the bishop here, you know, recognizes this. The bishop over here has even prayed with this person, you know. So what are we to make of that? Just because they say the bishop's name and just because they say that he's aware of it, what does that mean for us by way of if we try to figure out if it's real or if it's false?
Right. So the kind of the bottom line is the local bishop, if some supernatural event may or may not have happened and it gets reported to the local bishop, the bishop of that diocese, they do whatever level of investigation they want to do. If it warrants a serious investigation, they have people spend serious time on it. If it's something very minor, they may not investigate it at all. It's really up to the bishop. If they're considering making a statement on it, they do have to investigate it. Then, and this is the critical difference, Then they have to submit their judgment to the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith in Rome. They are not supposed to publicly endorse it. They should submit it to Rome, the results of whatever they found, and let Rome decide on what is to be declared. And this is to correct that flip-flopping that has happened historically that confuses people, where different bishops have different opinions on things.
Got you. And this particular 2024 document addresses all that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And what we're posting is the Vatican News kind of summary of the document, because these are quite long and they're pretty technical in their canonical language, but this is a really excellent summary of it.
Okay.
But yeah, the way they conclude is they say it is up, I'm quoting from the Vatican summary of it, it is up to the diocesan bishop to examine cases and submit their judgment to the dicastery for approval. The bishop is asked to refrain from making public declarations about the authenticity or supernatural nature, and to ensure there is no confusion or sensationalism.
Mm, there you go. Okay.
So this is since May of 2024.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I have to say this. Sometimes I feel as though that some of these people that have been, you know, that they're receiving these supernatural, you know, gifts and messages. Sometimes I feel like they're friends with like a certain, you know, bishop, and then it's odd. And then all of a sudden it's circulated everywhere. And so then now we're supposed to accept it as an authentic private revelation. And, you know, sometimes some of these prophecies have dates and times associated to them, and they have not come true. And then what? Were we supposed to go back and say, hey, you got it wrong? I mean, it's a little odd. I will tell you, sometimes it kind of frustrates me a little bit, because I think it confuses the faithful at times, because you get a whole group that follows, and they follow, and they are super loyal. And then when it passes, they're like, oh, well, you know, things happen, you know, times change, maybe God changed his mind. And I don't know. I find that a little odd. Okay, but we'll put that aside for a second. You've got more to share. Let me just share this, because we're getting more messages saying that we have not waved to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, and TikTok. Okay, we're waving. There you go. All right, go ahead, Adam.
Okay. And, you know, what you said is kind of the next thing, and I made notes for this. I make notes for things generally, but this is a really important topic for me, and I'm trying to write a book on it. It's big and complicated. So what you mentioned is really important, Deb. There are many examples of cults springing up around people that claim to have prophetic stuff, which is private revelation, claim to be visionaries. Mm-hmm. Basically, just inevitably, they almost all become apocalyptic. Why? Simple answer. That's the only way to hold people's attention and control them over a long period of time. You have to raise the stakes, and pretty soon it's you have to stay with this clique, or, you know, you're not going to survive the end of the world. It's sadly, it's where it almost always goes. A lot of them break away from the church because they make the critical error, and this is a really important point to take home from this episode. Private revelation never supersedes or changes public revelation. So nobody can ever say, oh, I've got the new teaching or the finishing of the teaching. This is the stuff from God, and you need this over here in this little clique. Otherwise, you're missing out. That's never going to happen. Okay. So what is the purpose of real prophecy? Well, God communicates through prophets primarily to encourage and edify his people. So to encourage them in their faith, in their spiritual life, in their closeness to God, their conformity to God and his words, in, you know, his divine word. Edification is instruct or improve somebody morally. Okay, so prophecy is to encourage and improve us in some way. That's what God wants. God always wants us to make it to the beatific vision. So when God does supernatural events, the end goal is that always at the end of the story. Now, prophecy often predicts consequences for not conforming to God's word and his church. And we can take Fatima as a famous example that most of us know, right? In 1917, Mary appeared to the children. You know, the sign that was given at the end was the sun dancing in the sky that tens of thousands of people saw, including many atheists and communists, and it was written up and documented very well. And in that she said, and remember, this is World War I is going on at the time, and it's going to end soon. She says, basically, if we don't straighten up, there's going to be another war that's worse. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be lights in the sky on the eve of the, you know, beginning of this next war. And it happened. The Aurora Borealis in Europe was there the night before Hitler invaded Poland and started World War II. So that was a prophetic warning, not just to say bad things are going to happen, which is what I see in the clickbait online. Mm-hmm. It's we need to straighten up and repent and pray and conform to God, or bad things will happen because of our choices, not because God's going to smite us, because our choices with when we try to operate without God lead to bad things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Big difference. Now, Jesus also gave a number of prophecies himself in scripture, right? Judas would betray him. He said it before it happened. It did. Peter would deny him three times. It happened. His followers would be persecuted. They were. He would be resurrected after 3 days. He was. Jerusalem would be destroyed. And 40 years later, it was. And his words would never pass away. And they haven't. And the Son of Man will return at the end. And that is what we're waiting for. Okay. So let's look at just briefly Luke 18:7-8. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So therein lies a prophecy within Scripture. Jesus is saying this about the state of things when he returns. This idea, Deb, of prophecy as an encouragement in order to help us to grow spiritually, to get back on the right track.
Right.
That even the return of Christ, he says, will he find faith on earth? You know, sometimes translated, will he find anybody that's faithful? It's always to help us when we've drifting away from God, to help us get back to God. It's not about predicting doom or giving dates of, you know, World War III or, you know, this is the end times. People have been saying that forever.
And some of these people, they start out really quiet and humble, and then they become somewhat of an internet personality, a celebrity. It's And maybe that's what our spirit world listeners are picking up in the tone of my voice. I really get frustrated at this, because it should not be about them. It's about God.
Right. And you know, I can't get into the details, but I've been privy to a number of these kind of things that aren't known to the world. These people are not on the internet, but they claim to have a lot of stuff from God, and I've seen it develop, and I've seen it get a little strange and a little stranger, and then it gets really concerning. Mm-hmm. And then how do you judge it, Deb? The fruits, right?
Right.
So at the end of the day, that's ultimately how we look back and judge something. But another point of this talk is the church judges in the midst of it. And the Vatican document, the summary that we're providing the link to, points out that in the midst of things, the church is judging. So at the beginning, it may be problematic right from the get-go, and the church will say that. If it's not problematic, but it seems to be positive, the church will wait and say, it's not problematic yet, but we're not saying it's supernatural. There's nuances to this. Mm-hmm. And the church is slow to judge, because you got to let it all unfold. You know, if I say, you know, the sky's going to fall next year, well, how do you know if I'm right? You got to wait.
Yeah.
So the church says, look, if it's clearly problematic, we're going to say so.
Yeah,
if it seems to maybe be good, we're going to wait and see until everything unfolds. So it does happen. It happens biblically. It does still happen. It happened in Fatima. There, you know, it can happen for individuals on a small scale, like Paul talks about. You know, there can be a charismatic prayer meeting and somebody receives a prophetic word that's just for another person, not for public broadcast, not about the end of the world.
Right.
That can happen. But the point is, look at how cautious the church is about the major supernatural events. Let's apply the same caution to the small ones in our own lives.
Love
that's it. Kind of my point. That's
great, wise words there, Mr. Bly. Okay, this here's the good news for the spirit world listeners. this will be our last break, okay? So when we come back, we are going right to the phones or to the chats to hear your comments and your questions. And let's really have a very robust discussion about this to end the episode of The Spirit World. It goes so fast, doesn't it? I cannot believe it. I think it's like the fastest hour in Catholic radio. But we hope you stay with us for the entire episode and learn something new about prophecies. You can call us, too, at 877-757-9424. And please don't forget to like us on Facebook at The Spirit World Podcast. And we'll be right back.
This program is sponsored in part by Saint Candles. Founded by a music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the Saint Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. Saint Raphael for healing, Saint Philomena for children, Saint Anthony of Padua for finding love, and many more as well. To see which saint candles are available, visit saintcandles.com.
Hi, I'm Debbie Giorgiani, along with Adam Bly, co-host of The Spirit World, every Saturday morning here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Did you know that Adam and I are also on the air every day? That's right. We're daily contributors to Morning Joy, where truth matters, hosted by Keith Downey. Each weekday at 6:15 a.m., we join Keith for a segment called The Next Right Thing. And we talk about taking the next step on the road to holiness. It's a great way to start your day, and I hope you'll get up early to listen. Even if you can't listen live to Morning Joy, you can listen to our Next Right Thing segment anytime you want on YouTube. Just look for the Guadalupe Radio Network and you'll find it. That's youtube.com/GRN online.
Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, as promised, that's our final break, so we'll get to the calls. Unless, Adam, you have something more to share with us, we're ready. We are ready to go to the calls. Amelia's been waiting the entire show, so she's going to go first. But I just wanted to say to Rochelle on Facebook, thank you so much for the prayers. I need the prayers. I love the prayers. Folks want a little bit of an update. I'm still working through some issues with the eyes, and I may have to have some future procedures, but I'm praying to St. Lucy and all the angels and saints, and if everyone helps out with prayers, I would appreciate it. And I pray for you each and every time I go to adoration and to Mass, so just to know that. So thanks to everybody on Facebook. Okay, here we go. Amelia's going to lead the discussion here with our callers from Chicago, Illinois, on the EWTN app. Amelia, welcome to the program.
Hi there to both. I just had a question about a computer, a laptop that my husband was given yesterday. We've been looking for a laptop, and a coworker of his gave him one, and it's an HP laptop, but it says Omen on it, that I guess it's some sort of a gaming laptop, and there's a little symbol of a tribal mask on it. Literally says Omen. I guess that's just the name of it. Is that something I should be concerned with at all, or am I just being superstitious?
Well, I wouldn't say that's being superstitious. I mean, Amelia, I think this kind of falls in the same category with a lot of things in our modern culture. You know, there's many companies that have logos that you can find, you know, perhaps negative or occult, you know, symbolism in them. There's many names of things that may or may not be problematic. And it kind of depends on, insights is how we want to interpret them. So an omen isn't necessarily an evil thing. It's kind of similar to what we're talking about. It's kind of a sign of future events, often negative, when we look at, you know, the few uses of that scripturally. And a tribal mask, I mean, it's probably just a marketing thing. It's probably not intended to be, you know, problematic. Again, logos are logos in most cases. But, you know, I would say just pray about it and reflect on it. But I'm not sure your thoughts. We would end up having to not use quite a few
everything.
Things in the modern world.
Well, pretty much everything, because if you trace back things, you know, like one person told me one time, Amelia, you know, they did that. They actually took a piece of clothing that they bought and they traced it back, you know, all the way back to where they got the thread for the clothing. And there was always something problematic. Somebody was involved somewhere that maybe it was not of a holy nature somehow. I mean, it really could make us a little bit you know, crazy in that area, where we're never going to buy anything anymore, never going to go out socially, never going to go to a restaurant. The one thing I would say, though, about technology, I know a lot of people that have their, you know, they kind of bless their technology with holy water and blessed salt and all sorts of stuff. What do you, I mean, I wouldn't douse your laptop in holy water, right. But I mean, you know, but I know a lot of people that do that, Adam. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, just with things in general that we buy. You know, it's good to bless them. And because computers have such a strong potential for good or for sin, yeah, you know, how many people are addicted to things that they can access on the internet, and how mm-hmm. destructive that can be to their lives, their marriages, etc. Mm-hmm. Because of that, I would bless any computer that you get, not because this one has, you know, that symbol on it, but because the potential is so strong. We want to bring some grace into that because it's such a powerful tool for good or for bad.
I totally agree. May I make another suggestion, Amelia, if your husband's open to it? It sounds like that's the logo on the actual gadget itself, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. And you can't peel it off, correct?
No, I was actually thinking of putting a like sticker over
that,
it. Like
that's exactly what I was going to say.
Sticker.
Okay, mm-hmm. Get a sticker that's a religious sticker. Have that sticker blessed by a priest and slap it on the laptop.
Wonderful. That sounds great. You guys
that's
are
what,
awesome.
That's what
Thank
I would
you
do.
So much.
You're welcome. But mm-hmm. keep an eye on it, because if it starts to get a little, you know, wonky and something happens, I'd get rid of it.
Oh, yeah. I definitely will. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Adam? Because, I'll tell you why I say that. You know how I love cars. You know, one time there was a car that, anyway, long story short, I did the same thing. I covered the emblem with a mm-hmm. with a religious symbol.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was in my mind, too, with this case. I would, you know, put a sticker on it if it bothers you. Like, even psychologically, if it bothers you, just put a nice holy thing there, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. Okay, let's hear what Beth has to say in Buffalo, New York, on the EWTN app. Hi, Beth.
Hi. I just had a question about prophetics. And I have a friend who is, you know, really watches the prophetics online. And they're very reputable prophetics. They're priests. But they, you know, she keeps telling me about all the horrible things that are going to happen soon, and I should get out of the stock market, and, you know, she keeps bringing it up, and it's really very disturbing to me, and, you know, I don't know what to take of it.
Mm-hmm. Beth, let me stop you for 1 second. Thank you so much for calling in. I don't know if you were listening or if you were talking to our call screeners, Libby and Lori, but that's exactly what I was alluding to without mentioning it, that a lot of these people that are receiving these messages, they are reputable priests, and they are saying some very disturbing things that are keeping us very agitated and on edge, and so much so that other people are saying, oh, if you don't do it, Father so-and-so says this is going to happen to you. Just to let you know, Beth, and for what it's worth, I stopped listening to all this, because it totally disrupted the way I conducted my spiritual life. And I have been so happy since I have stopped following all these things. So just to let you know, that's me personally. I'm not thrilled by it at all, because I, in particular, without mentioning names, and they're wonderful priests. And I have nothing against these priests. I've met them. They're wonderful. But some of them are saying some pretty outlandish things that is, I don't think it's helping people grow in holiness. And I don't think it's helping people be at peace and joy. And don't get me started, Beth, because now my blood pressure is going sky high. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, Beth, I agree. You don't need to take any of it seriously. Again, private revelation, nobody is required to believe it or act on it. Public revelation, scripture and tradition, is what we are supposed to focus on. Secondly, I would say anything that's fear-based basically isn't of God. I'm not condemning anybody or any statements, because I don't know who you're talking about or what statements you're talking about. But in general, Jesus doesn't bring fear. God brings peace. Even in difficult circumstances, God in your life brings peace into those difficulties.
He will have a warning, though. And that's not a fear. That's to get us on the right track.
And that's what we were talking about in the first two segments. When God gives us these communications, it is for our benefit, to help us. And what does it direct us to do? The basics. Go to Mass, go to confession, avail yourself of daily prayer. Use the ordinary means of grace that are provided to us. That's all we need to do. And then be at peace. You know, even if difficult times come, if we're right with God, we're going to be at peace with that. You know, the banging the drum of the sky is falling, it gets old, and people... It wears them down, as Deb, you said. The negativity, it only works for a short time, and then people get tired of being negative. And what Jesus is offering isn't fear, but he's offering peace in himself.
And that was well said. And Beth, the other thing I would say too is, the other problem that I have is some of the podcasts, because I used to follow all of this, Beth, just to let you know. Some of the podcasts will say things like this at the beginning. Well, we have Father so-and-so with us, and he is the one who's giving these messages. And when all these things start to unfold, you come right here to this podcast, because we have the cell phone of Father, and he will release it right here on this podcast. I'm sorry. That is a clear indication that all you want is the following and the clicks. That is not
right.
Ministry. That is trying to generate followers. And I don't think it's right. I actually think, and honestly, I know some of these people well, they're friends of mine. And I will tell you, I don't think it's healthy for the laity, because it makes us, we are wondering if we're missing out. And if we don't get this inside information, are we going to be left behind? Beth, can you tell that I was totally into it a while ago?
Yeah, I can.
What do you think? What are you going to do now, going forward with your friend?
Well, you know, it gives me some kind of information to respond to her with, which is helpful for me. And it was getting to the point where I really couldn't even be around her. It was so upsetting. And I agree with you. Are these podcasts, are they approved by the church, or are they just personal kind of prophecies?
When you say approved by the church, these are individuals, lay people that have podcasts, and they are friends with a lot of these people. There's certain groups that they are determined to follow a certain path or a certain, and then they usually link in, you know, different people that are maybe on their way to canonization or possible sainthood, and then they bring in some bishops, and then they bring in some other people. So they're not really doing anything quote unquote wrong. But they're just promoting this stuff as if we should all believe it, and we don't have to believe it. And when these things don't come true, then what do we do? I mean, we honestly, Beth, we look like fools going out there in the world. We stick with the church, what Holy Mother Church teaches, And God will provide. If God wants us to know something, he will have us know it. He's God. And so I have a real problem with it, because I have seen so many relationships, Beth, broken, destroyed. You just mentioned that it was a tension between you and your friend. I mean, this is not healthy for our spiritual lives. What we need to do is get back to the basics. Adam says it every single time we do the show, the rosary, mass, adoration, get back to the basics. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, it's our natural desire for something exciting and supernatural and to be a part of that. And, you know, maybe we get desensitized to the basics, but that's our fault for not mindfully really entering into them, because it's all there for us. This exciting stuff, which is almost always negative because it always goes apocalyptic, because that's how you hold people's attention. It's fear-based.
Yeah.
And by the way, Beth, these podcasts are not going to be quote-unquote approved by the church, unless there's some strange exception out there, for a number of reasons. The church is not going to formally announce that something is good and can be, you know, taken in by the faithful unless the church has control over it. Because if you formally approve something and then it goes off the rails and they say, but we're approved by the church isn't going to do that. Mm-hmm. And secondly, they're not going to invest the time and money and effort to fully study something that they're not in control of, because right. Again, you don't know where it's going to go. Right. So, yeah, if it's approved, it's coming from the diocesan bishop in a statement or a letter.
Right, right. And the other thing too, Beth, I've told people this all the time. You know, we have obviously this show, The Spirit World, is being aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. But then I also have the show Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, which is sourced right from EWTN. And EWTN has a very strict vetting policy on who gets on the air. I love that. When I first started, Beth, I actually brought to EWTN a few different people, and they went through the committee. What I mean by a few different people, a few people that I had heard of that I was following, and I asked if they could be on Take Two, and then EWTN sent them through the committee, and the committee did not approve it. And I'm so grateful to EWTN. That's why I tell people all the time, if you want to make sure you're getting authentic, very well thought out, processed information, the resources and the radio and the television side of EWTN, it is amazing. What EWTN goes through, what Doug Keck and Michael Warsaw and the whole team and the whole management team and everything, what they go through to make sure Colin Donovan, our head theologian, I mean, everything they go through, all the friars, they are so particular down to the detail on what kind of information we receive as listeners of the network. So I just want to say, you know, if you feel like something is a little odd, call EWTN and say, do you guys go along with this? I'm sure they maybe would tell you, you know, no, this is not something we endorse. What do you think, Adam?
And also start with your pastor, right? When in doubt, start with your pastor. They're the local shepherd for you in your parish, or call or write your diocese central office. It's often called a pastoral center.
Oh, that's
and
a
say,
good idea.
Hey, you know, are we, is this legit? Or am I supposed to pay attention to this? You know, right. Are you guys aware of this? Is it on your radar? Is it okay? Write in or call in and ask them.
Right. So we spent a lot of time, Beth, but the reason why we spent a lot of time on your call is because you are representing probably a dozen people right now that are trying to get in and ask the same question. So thank you, Beth. You represented many, many callers today. So God bless you. Okay. Thank you. Okay. We need to go to, Elizabeth. Elizabeth in Spokane, Washington, on Sacred Heart Radio. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to the program.
Okay, thank you. I would like to know, what is the definition of a private revelation? A priest in a homily about 2 or 3 years ago mentioned Lourdes, Fatima, and Guadalupe, and he said he believed in Lourdes and Guadalupe, and then he didn't say anything more about Fatima.
Okay, let Adam respond real quickly. Now, here's Elizabeth. We're going to let you go on that. Thank you for listening and supporting Sacred Heart Radio. We're going to let you just listen, Elizabeth. Adam, quick response, and then let's try to get to Virginia, and then I'm going to address Terry and Joe's questions as well. Go.
Sure. So private revelation is in contrast to public revelation. Public revelation in the church is something that is formally put forward by the church in a universal sense. It is scripture and the tradition of the church that the church, the global church, has put forward as something that is part of the teaching of the church. Private revelation means I got some information from God privately that the church has not received and then gone over and declared to the world. It's just me. We are never required to believe private revelation or to act on it. We are only required to believe and act on public revelation. So even things like Fatima, Lourdes, Guadalupe, we are not required to believe those. They are not necessary for salvation, is kind of the bottom line. Mm-hmm. If God chooses to provide additional things to a generation and a place for his own reasons, that's fine, but it's not necessary. Scripture and tradition is complete and is all we need for salvation.
Right. Even though they are true, we don't have to believe
right.
that. Okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you, Elizabeth. Let me do it this way. Terry in Houston, Texas, and Joe in San Antonio, Texas. You guys have great questions. Real quickly, Joe wants to know about Nostradamus, how the church feels about Nostradamus and the predictions there. Terry wants to know that someone is taking a ghost tour. How should I respond to that? So real quickly, Adam, Terry needs to inform them, their conscience, that they're making a huge mistake opening that door. But go ahead.
Yeah. So I know a lot of the people in the ghost hunting world. I used to speak at paranormal conferences to warn people about necromancy and playing around with spirits. The bottom line is it's necromancy. You're turning to a created spirit for comfort, information, or power instead of trusting in God. By doing that, you're violating the first commandment, which is to love God and put God first and not worship any other spirits. So by putting trust or reliance on another spirit, you're showing deference or honor to it. So ghost hunting is super problematic on a number of levels. And what people are dealing with is either imagination or the demons. That's the bottom line. So we can't do it. It's incredibly sinful.
Okay, so here's what I want to do. If we can ask our call screeners, Libby and Lori, ask Virginia, Terry, and Joe, all from Texas, all on Guadalupe Radio Network, to call back next week, and we will address it on the open forum, and they can go first next week. So yeah. Terry will continue that with the about friends going on a ghost tour. Nostradamus, oh, Joe, there's a whole story we can tell you about that. You know, Nostradamus's you know, the reliance on occult things, that is very problematic, and we can get into that, but that's going to take a longer time for Adam and I to respond. So yes, so we'll bring up Nostradamus next week. Virginia wants to say be careful of false prophets, but I'd like to hear what Virginia has to say next week as well. So everyone, you guys were great. Unfortunately, if you look at the clock, we only have about a minute, and we've got to say goodbye for now. So we're so sorry about that, but you get to go first next week on the open forum. Final comments, Adam. I thought this was a fabulous show. We're getting a lot of messages. We probably made a mistake by just doing one episode on prophecy. Maybe we should address it again, and that's what I think why everybody saw me kind of trying to all these moving parts, trying to keep it all the plates spinning. You know, it's a little difficult at my age. So any quick final comments?
No, just hopefully this was a little helpful. Kind of the bottom line is if you're still feeling confused, relax, don't pay attention to it, stick with the basics. This is just extra stuff that unless your local diocesan bishop says it's okay to look at, don't even bother with it. Save yourself the grief. And yeah, don't listen to the sky is falling. Just focus on your life and be ready for whatever comes.
Right. And just for the record, we here at the Spirit World, I think I can speak for the whole team. We love Our Lady of Guadalupe. We love Fatima. We love Lourdes. Absolutely. So we're trying to just let you see what else is happening out there in the world so that you can make good decisions when you choose to use your time scrolling the internet instead of in deep prayer. And we always recommend go to prayer. Okay, so that'll do it. You hear that music. There's that music again. Thanks to everybody on social media. You guys just blew up everything on social media. Way to go. Love you all. Thank you so very much for supporting the spirit world. Don't forget to support your local Catholic radio station during spring pledge drive season. And Adam and I have open forum next Saturday, so that's wonderful. Thank you to Libby and Lori. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, EWTN. Thank you, Guadalupe Radio Network. Okay, that'll do it. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.